The evening after the battle with the spiders, Bilbo and the dwarves made one last despairing effort to find a way out of the forest before they died of hunger and thirst. Suddenly, out sprang the light of many torches all round them, like hundreds of red stars. Wood elves! There was no thought of a fight. The only weapons they had would have been of no use against the arrows of the wood elves that could hit a bird's eye in the dark. So they simply stopped dead and sat down and waited. All except Bilbo, who popped on his ring and slipped quickly to one side. When the elves bound the dwarves in a long line, one behind the other, and counted them, they never found or counted the hobbit. Nor did they hear him trotting along well behind as they led off their prisoners into the forest. Suddenly the torches stopped, then began to cross the bridge that led across the river to the door of the king's domain. Across this bridge the elves thrust their prisoners, and Bilbo only made up his mind not to desert his friends just in time to scuttle over at the heels of the last elves before the great gates of the king closed behind them with a clang. In a great hall with pillars hewn out of the living stone on a chair of carven wood sat the elven king. He looked grimly at the prisoners and told his men to unbind them, for they were ragged and weary. "They need no rope in here," he said. "Once inside, there is no escape from my magic doors." Long and searchingly, he questioned the dwarves about their doings. The dwarves were surly and angry.
"What have we done, O king?" said Balin, who was the eldest left. "Is it a crime to be lost in the forest, to be hungry and thirsty and trapped by spiders? Are they your pets, if killing them makes you angry?"
Such a question, of course, made the king angrier than ever, and he answered, "It is a crime to wander in my realms without leave. I have a right to know what brings you here, and if you remain silent, here you will stay until you have learned sense and manners." The dwarves were each put in a separate cell and given food and drink, but not allowed to pass the doors of their little prison until one at least of them was willing to tell the king what he wanted to know. But he did not tell them that Thorin was also a prisoner. It was Bilbo who found that out. Poor Mr. Baggins. It was a weary long time that he lived in that place all alone, always in hiding, never daring to take off his ring, hardly daring to sleep, tucked away in the darkest and remotest corners he could find. For something to do, he took to wandering about the Elven King's palace. He was hungry, but he could pick up a morsel here and there, thanks to the ring. "I am like a burglar that can't get away, but must go on miserably burgling the same house day after day," he thought. "I wish I was back in my hobbit hole by my own warm fireside." Eventually, after a week or two sneaking about, he managed to find out where each dwarf was kept in different parts of the palace. Imagine his joy one day when he overheard some guards talking about another dwarf held in a specially deep, dark place. He guessed at once. After many careful trackings, he found him. Thorin was too wretched to be angry any longer at his misfortunes, and was even beginning to think of telling the king all about his treasure and his quest, when he heard Bilbo's little voice at his keyhole. He could hardly believe his ears. He came to the door and had a long, whispered talk with the hobbit on the other side. Bilbo took his messages to the others that they were not to breathe a word of their quest till Thorin gave the word. The other dwarves quite agreed. They all thought their own shares in the treasure would suffer seriously if the wood elves claimed part of it, and they all trusted Bilbo. One day, nosing and wandering about, Bilbo discovered a very interesting thing. The great gates were not the only entrance to the caves. A stream flowed under part of the lower palace and joined the forest river some way further east. Where this underground watercourse came out, there was a water gate. A portcullis could be dropped right to the bed of the river to prevent anyone coming in or out that way. But the portcullis was often open, for a good deal of traffic went out and in by the water gate. At one point, where it passed under the caves, the roof had been cut away and covered with great oaken trapdoors. These opened upwards into the king's cellars. There stood barrels and barrels and barrels, for the wood elves, and especially their king, were very fond of wine, which, with other goods, were brought from their kinsfolk in the south or from the vineyards of men in distant lands. Bilbo hid behind a large barrel and overheard how the wine came up the rivers or overland to the Long Lake. From Lake Town, the barrels were brought up the Forest River. When the barrels were empty, the elves cast them through the trapdoors, opened the water gate, and out the barrels floated into the stream, bobbing along until they were carried by the current to a place far down the river where the bank jutted out, near the edge of Mirkwood. There they were collected, tied together, and floated back to Lake Town. Bilbo sat and thought about this water gate, wondering if it could be used for the escape of his friends. And at last he had the desperate beginnings of a plan. The evening meal had been taken to the prisoners, and the guards were tramping away down the passages, taking the torchlight with them, when Bilbo heard the king's butler bidding the chief of guards good night. "Now come with me," he said, "and taste the new wine. I shall be hard at work tonight clearing the cellars of empty barrels, so let us have a drink first." "Very good," laughed the chief of the guards. "I'll taste with you. There is a feast tonight, and it would not do to send up poor stuff." Oh, what luck! Bilbo was all in a fluster. He had a chance at once to try his desperate plan. Very soon, the chief guard nodded his head, and then he laid it on the table and fell fast asleep. The butler went on talking and laughing to himself for a while, but soon his head, too, nodded to the table. In crept the hobbit. Very soon the chief guard had no keys. Bilbo was racing along the passages towards the cells. First he unlocked Balin's door and locked it again carefully as soon as the dwarf was outside. Balin was most surprised and wanted to stop and ask questions. "No time now," said the hobbit. "You just follow me. We must all escape together, and this is our last chance." Then off he went from door to door until his following had grown to 12, none of them too nimble in the dark. At last they came to Thorin's dungeon, far down in a deep place, and fortunately not far from the cellars.
"Upon my word," said Thorin, "Gandalf spoke true, as usual. A pretty fine burglar you make, it seems, when the time comes. But what next?"
Bilbo saw that he must explain his idea as far as he could, but he did not feel at all sure how the dwarves would take it. His fears were quite justified, for they did not like it a bit and started grumbling loudly in spite of their danger. "Very well," said Bilbo, downcast and also rather annoyed. "Come along back to your nice cells and I will lock you all in again, and you can sit down there comfortably and think of a better plan. But I don't suppose I shall ever get hold of the keys again, even if I feel inclined to try."
They calmed down straight away and followed the hobbit.
Down into the lowest cellars they crept, passing the door through which the chief guard and the butler could be seen still happily snoring. Bilbo was told off to watch the guard and the butler and give warning if they stirred. The rest went into the next cellar with the trapdoors. There was little time to lose. Bilbo knew before long that elves were under orders to come down and help the butler get the empty barrels through the doors into the stream. They soon found 13, with room enough for a dwarf in each. At last, 12 dwarves were stowed. It had not been done a bit too soon. Only a minute or two after Balin's lid had been fitted on, there came the sound of voices and the flicker of lights. A number of elves came laughing and talking into the cellars and singing snatches of song. "Oh, look, he's had his share by the looks of it." They drank once round and became mighty merry all of a sudden. But they did not quite lose their wits. "Save us, Galeon," cried some. "You have stacked some full casks here instead of empty ones, if there is anything in weight."
"Get on with it," growled the butler. "They are the ones to go, and no others. Get on with it."
Very well, very well, they answered, rolling the barrels to the opening. On your head be it if the king's full buttertubs and his best wine is pushed into the river. Roll, 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 rolling down the hole. Heave, ho, splash, plump, down they go, down they bump. So they sang as first one barrel and then another rumbled to the dark opening and was pushed over into the cold water. It was just at this moment that Bilbo suddenly discovered the weak point in his plan. Of course, he was not in a barrel himself, nor was there anyone to pack him in, even if there had been a chance. Now the very last barrel was being rolled to the doors. In despair and not knowing what else to do, poor little Bilbo caught hold of it and was pushed over the edge with it. Down into the water he fell, splash, into the cold, dark water with the barrel on top of him. Oh, it was difficult to hold on, but he managed it somehow. Luckily, he was very light, and the barrel was a good big one. All the same, it was like trying to ride a round-bellied pony that was always thinking of rolling on the grass. In this way, at last, Mr. Baggins came to a place where the trees on either side grew thinner. The dark river opened wide and joined the main water of the forest river. On the shallow shore, most of the barrels ran aground, though a few went on to bump against the stony pier. There were people on the lookout on the banks. They quickly pulled and pushed all the barrels together into the shallows, and when they had counted them, they roped them together and left them till the morning. In the grey dawn there was a merry racket down by the river. They were making up a raft of barrels, and the raftels would soon be steering it off down the stream to Lake Town. Bilbo scrambled down as fast as his stiff legs would take him, and managed just in time to get on to the mass of casks without being noticed in the general bustle. There was a mighty pushing of poles. The elves that were standing in the shallow water heaved and shoved. The barrels, now all lashed together, creaked and fretted. "This is a heavy load," some grumbled. "They float too deep. Some of these are never empty. If they had come ashore in daylight, we might have had a look inside," they said. "No time now," cried the raftman. "Shove off!" And off they went at last, slowly at first, then quicker and quicker, as they caught the main stream and went sailing away down, down towards the lake. They had escaped the dungeons of the king and were through the wood, but whether alive or dead, still remained to be seen.